Hey friends, and welcome to another episode of the Amplify Horse Racing Podcast. My name is Anise Von Pleasure, joined by the ever lovely Caitlin Christofferson. It is the week of Thanksgiving, so happy holiday week to anybody out there who is celebrating that, or whatever holiday you might be celebrating. We wish you a wonderful week. Yes. Caitlin, how's it going?
Good. I have started to recover from the past few months of madness.
It's a multi-month recovery process.
It was, yeah. The letdown process, if you will.
Yeah.
I've been good. It's been amazing to just think back on how much my team and, you know, I've accomplished over the past 6 months, between Del Mar Racing and Breeders' Cup and Women's Summit and Charlestown, so many wonderful clients, Phasing Tipton sales. It's a lot to reflect on, but yeah, it's great to kind of be able to lay on the couch and think about it.
Yeah, the lay on the couch part is really nice. We just got through a multi-week stretch with Team Amplify, working on a project that we're actually going to be talking about in tonight's podcast episode. And that is, we built onto our mentorship program this year to add a travel award grant, which I talk a bit about in the episode. But basically, for our high achieving mentees out there, they were able to do an additional application, and we selected 4 recipients to receive a grant to bring them to Kentucky during the Keeneland November sale, which is a busy time with Stallion Farm open houses. You know, the sales are always a great hub for meeting people, and then take them on a series of behind the scenes tours, which for these young ladies that we're having on tonight, that was, I hope it's not a once in a lifetime experience, but it was definitely a first in their lifetime experience, which they both reflect on. So we'll be joined by Sydney Patrick and Paola Castro here shortly to talk all about their experience of really going behind the scenes in the thoroughbred industry in Kentucky for the first time.
Super excited for this one. This is something that's obviously very near and dear to you, but you know, speaking with them, it makes me reflect on my journey a bit. And it's so wonderful to, feel like I have, or that there's a whole group of like young women out there who are taking the same path.
There was this word that was used multiple times throughout, you know, our recording of the episode. And it was like being in awe or just being speechless of, you know, everything that you're experiencing. Like there were those words popping up a lot, and it does really throw you back to your own first time of experiencing, you know, the industry through fresh eyes. So right. I'm really, really excited to share this one with everybody out there and talk about mentorship and, you know, the industry from a newcomer's perspective.
Right. And yeah, hopefully, you know, something that all of our listeners always remember, we were once just horse crazy girls from Texas and Wisconsin.
So. North Dakota.
North Dakota.
Close enough.
I was just thinking of the accent.
I was in that neck of the woods, you know.
Again, I'm from Texas, so the geography of the north like is not really a thing. It's just enough to keep up with Texas.
You basically live in your own country, so that's okay. Let's dive on in.
Sounds great.
On today's episode of the Amplify Horse Racing Podcast, we are super excited to welcome Paola Castro and Sydney Patrick, 2 of our 2023 mentees through the Amplify Horse Racing Mentorship Program. And these two are particularly exciting in our mentorship program history because they were 2 of our inaugural Amplify Travel Award winners. So this was a new initiative that we implemented this year where our mentees or our mentorship program, to further describe that a bit, is open to 15 to 25 year olds, roughly, who are interested in pursuing further involvement in the thoroughbred industry, particularly in a career of sorts. And so our travel award was an add-on to that initiative, and that our mentees could apply to receive a grant to be able to come to Kentucky in November and go on this whole series of awesome, or I thought they were awesome, behind the scenes tours, and then be recognized at our second annual Young Professionals Networking event. So we have them on today to talk all about their experience as mentees, as young people getting involved in the industry, and to share with other people out there any advice and takeaways that they would have. So a good starting point, welcome guys, is for both of you to talk about how you became interested in the equine industry to start with, and what set you on this journey. So Paola, we'll start with you. How did you become interested in horses, and how did you go down the path of becoming, well, hopefully a future equine veterinarian?
And well, I have to mention, I have to jump in right before that, because I want to also prep this with, I had the absolute pleasure of meeting Paola at Women's Summit, and it was so exciting to like meet a young female from Texas, interested in thoroughbred racing and equine studies and veterinarian studies. And it was just, you are so delightful and so driven. And it was just like absolutely wonderful to get to know you.
That's so sweet. Thank you so much. For starters, I think, so my dad has played a really large influence in my role and like in my life. So my dad's an equine vet in Mexico. He never got certified in the United States just because there was financial issues and just timing of it all wasn't ideal. But I grew up with horses. I grew up with animals. My dad now works for the USDA, and he used to use horses for his work. And so they kind of always been in my life. There's photos of me like 4 years old on a little horse, like with the biggest smile ever. But I have always wanted to do more in the industry, and I just didn't really know how to get involved. I used to watch a lot of shows growing up, a lot of horse shows, a lot of horse movies. And it just like grew this fire in me to pursue it further and to just challenge myself. I knew that I wasn't going to get that alone where I was from, and I had to like look further. Fortunately, I met a lot of people along the way that have really helped me and have taught me a lot. And so especially like I got involved with Amplified through a friend, and she was like, hey, like I know that you're interested in horses. You should try and like do this. And it was 2 days before the application is due, and I did it so quickly because I had to be involved, and I didn't, even if my application wasn't like the best that it could have been, I just wanted to make an effort and to say that like at least I tried to get in, and at least I tried to do something to be involved. And it has just worked out wonderfully for me. I'm so happy to be here. I'm so happy to be involved. I want to keep pushing myself to be more involved. But yeah, I mean, it was kind of something I've always wanted. And I think it's something that I kind of had to like look for to get myself, but a lot of people have helped me along the way, and I'm really thankful for all of those people.
And that's, you're a great example of, you know, the type of young person that we want to bring into this program. Somebody who has the ambition and the excitement, and, you know, you had some really great guidance at the beginning, but maybe need somebody to help you along through those next steps. And we'll talk more about your mentor as we go along, but Caitlin mentioned the Horse Racing Women's Summit. Your mentor, Jody Vella-Gregory, has been really involved in that initiative, which is awesome. So that's something you got to participate in. So I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. We will chat about that, but handing it over to Sydney, you have lived in a variety of places, but you're currently based in Pennsylvania, and you've also had a really unique journey as to how you discovered and got more involved in the thoroughbred industry.
Yeah, so just like Paola, I grew up, you know, around horses, surrounded with horses, and I just loved them. I love being around them. But one day in 2009, I was like 5 years old, and my dad put on the Breeders' Cup, and Zenyatta was running, and I watched Zenyatta, and I was like, this is the coolest thing ever. And I think a year after that, Secretariat came out, and I was obsessed with that movie. I think it was on in my house 24/7. So I learned a lot about the Triple Crown that way. And then after that, I watched every Triple Crown race after that. And, you know, there's a lot of thoroughbred media, and I was kind of brought up with the generation that has so much access to media. So I watched a lot of TVG, and I watched FanDuel, which has a lot of access, both racing and behind the scenes. NYRA has the America's Day at the Races program. I watched a lot of that. And then NBC has the great program where they kind of go more in depth with those big races, and they have the storytelling aspect of it, which I always loved. So I would drag my dad to the races. We went to the 2012 Belmont because I thought I'll Have Another was going to win it all. He ultimately scratched, but lucky enough, I got to go to 2018. I saw Justify win. So it kind of brought it all full circle. But I've always had such a passion for racing. I mean, in middle school, I would get up really early to watch the Derby Works show. I just loved everything about it. I loved these animals. They're just so athletic, and they try so hard, and they have such great stories behind them too. So, but it was kind of always on the back burner for me. I didn't know if I really wanted to make it a career. In high school, I was really focused on going to the Naval Academy. So I kind of had tunnel vision and really focused in on that, and went through the whole application process, which is really, really long. And they're really stringent about the health criteria. And I didn't make it because I have slight curvature in my back. So I had to kind of pivot. We moved from Arizona to Pennsylvania, and I took a semester off, and I kind of really thought about, what do I want to do? And my whole life, I've always wanted to do something I'm passionate about, and I love horses, and I work at a farm right now, and I just want to be a part of the thoroughbred industry. And I have kind of a good grasp of the broad spectrum of the industry, but this Amplify mentorship kind of helped me get down into the ins and outs and, you know, the different aspects of it. So I'm going to transfer to the University of Kentucky for equine science and management. And I'm really excited about, you know, taking the first steps into the industry.
So, Sydney, I absolutely love that. I've said on this podcast many times before that the movie that introduced me to racing was Seabiscuit when I was in high school, quite a few years earlier. And side note, guys, I ordered Ruffian and Secretariat to read over the holiday.
Oh, no. So, awesome.
Yes, I am super excited about that. Like, you never really lose that horse girl heart.
It's interesting that both of you actually mentioned the impact that movies and TV shows had in your journey of becoming interested in horses. Because I got interested in the thoroughbred industry because of the movie Ruffian. Mm-hmm. So it might be kind of interesting to dive down that track a little bit as to, you know, why that is, and if that's an our generation kind of thing and something that we need to cultivate more. Like, Paola, what was it for you? What shows were you watching?
I think the first movie I ever watched that I was like, oh my goodness, I want to be that little girl, was Dreamer. I remember like watching it, and I was like, why can't I be her? Like, I want to do that. And then also Heartland was a really big one. Mm-hmm. Heartland's about like healing, like holistically and all that. And I just remember being like, that is so cool. Like, that is so interesting that she doesn't even like, it's very spiritual. And I think that's where I kind of started learning more about how sensitive these creatures are. And I started to kind of apply a little bit of that with like my interactions with my horses. But definitely, like, I think that movies and like books are just really good at kind of exposing younger generations, especially ours. Like, we grew up with movies and just having so much access to all of this. But it's, I think, again, the storytelling aspect of it all. Like, Cody's Wish is my favorite horse right now, but it's because I feel like that story was just so beautiful. And so I just like really connected with that. And so I think that like just the storytelling is what kind of gets people. When you don't think you're interested, like you are actually. So yeah, I remember she mentioned
Cody's wish to become a book and a movie.
I know, I'm so excited. I remember like even she mentioned, Sydney mentioned that she was like in elementary watching these movies. And I remember, and I completely forgot about this too. I remember going to school in like the fifth grade or something with my book, like the Secretariat book. And it was this big, big book. And I was like, I'm going to read it. And I was just like who even told me about horse racing? Like I was so small, so little. And like, I was like, yeah, I'm going to read this book and I love horses and I love horse racing. So it's just like, it started and you forget about all that until like,
yeah, I forgot. I mean, I read every single horse related book in our library. I remember a really big one was Smokey the Cow Horse. And it was a pretty large book. And so you got a lot of accelerated reading points for it. Uh-huh. But so while everybody else was reading Harry Potter to get like 50 AR points, I was I was reading anything horses that I could get my hands on.
That's so funny. Yep. Sydney, what did your parents think as you all of a sudden developed this fascination with the industry and you're all of a sudden dragging them to all these races?
I have honestly no idea. My dad has been my biggest supporter always, and I'm so lucky that he's always just supported me no matter what. He's whatever you want to do, I'm going to support you. And I would beg him. I mean, I begged him to take me to the 2012 Belmont. He took me to Pimlico, and he's just always been so supportive. And he bought me, you know, the Briar horses. I have like Rachel Alexandra and like Rags to Riches, and he bought those when I was really little, and I was like, I love horses. Horse racing is great. But he works in news, and the storytelling aspect of it, like I said, it's always something I've fallen in love with, because, you know, there's not just one horse that's just, you know, it's just a horse. I mean, horses run for people. They run for their story. I mean, they could have had a hard upbringing. It's amazing what they overcome, really, a lot of them. So, you know, I think he really liked that aspect of it as someone who works in news, and especially the Cody's Wish story. I mean, he was sending me that before he won the Breeders' Cup. So I think that's something that he also really liked, and one of the reasons he supported it.
I'm not going to lie. I already pre-ordered the Cody's Wish Briar Horse.
I have to do that.
I think most of my team at GSS has done that also.
Like, you know,
not all of my Briar Horses. They must have, I don't know where they are.
They're all sitting in my closet in my childhood bedroom in this very house where I am right now. So my poor parents are still putting up my Briar Horses. That's so funny. Someday I'll find a place for them. But I feel like, Caitlin, you know, you guys really tap into a lot of that storytelling with GSS, the marketing agency, and you have to through social media. And so how do you guys approach that when you're working up to big races like the Breeders' Cup or the Triple Crown, or even just a general race day, because you guys work with other tracks too that aren't necessarily these, mm-hmm. you know, high profile facilities. So how do you guys approach that storytelling in social media?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, sometimes there are like the obvious stories out there that already might be in circulation or people are talking about, but I think, and Sydney kind of touched on this, every horse has a story. Every horse and its connections have a story. So whether it's at Charlestown or Sam Houston or the Breeders' Cup or, you know, a Keeneland maiden special, you don't have to look very far for these really incredible horse and human interest stories. And that's, you know, yes, we promote the racing, the handicapping, the more technical aspects of the sport, but what people really want to hear, like the content that is in demand, is the storylines between the horse horses and the humans. And I think we're just always trying to research, you know, what, like, go a little bit deeper than, you know, just looking at an Equibase page. Like, that doesn't tell you much about what the story is. And yeah, we go and we talk to people and we talk to trainers and we talk to owners and, you know, we listen to the horses themselves and, you know, we try to get to know their personalities as well. Cause there are so many horses that have great personalities that can come out on camera. And yeah, it's just, it's a really holistic approach. But the thing is just to, like, not forget that every horse is totally unique. Every horse has a story. And I think that's something that can get a little bit lost in racing because, you know, there are a large number of horses that, you know, on any given race day, it'll be 100 horses running plus how many thousands more on the backside. There are a lot of horses around, but just not forgetting that each one has a story and those stories need to be shared.
Yeah, that's a really, really good point. And Sydney and Paola, during both of your time in Kentucky, which was very recent that both of you got to come and go on your really cool behind the scenes trip with Lily Mosier, who is another one of our travel award winners. Our other travel award recipient is a woman from California who's going to be able to have that experience later this year or into next year, potentially. She wasn't able to go along with you guys, Cheyenne Smith, but I would love for you guys to talk about the story that you experienced in Kentucky and, you know, what that was like to go through the weekend. What were some of your greatest takeaways from the places that we visited? Because every facility was so different. And I feel like most of them did a great job of packaging and capturing that story and sharing it with you guys. So I'd love to hear your impressions of, you know, visiting Kentucky and going behind the scenes at all these farms.
Okay, I didn't want to step on any toes. Yeah, I mean, there were just so many amazing stories being told in Kentucky, and we saw so many great things while we were there. I loved everything we did, but particularly going to Bon Chance Farm. I think what they're doing is incredible there, and the fact that they're a smaller operation, kind of a smaller fish in a big sea, I thought that was really unique hearing how they breed to race and they're really focused on the longevity of the horse and how they have a smaller brood band. But I think from a crop of 16, they said they had 2 grade 1 winners. I think that's right, which is incredible. So I really loved learning what they're doing at Bon Chance and how they're, you know, again, small fish in a big sea. As someone who's interested in kind of the breeding aspect and the bloodstock aspect of the industry, going to see the consignments at Mill Ridge and Denali Stud was also such an informative experience. Being able to hear what a bloodstock agent would look for their client, you know, like a horse's athletic walk. That's something that, you know, you kind of have to be in the trade to learn to know what that is. So hearing things like that, super informative and just the hard work that goes into these sales. I mean, the horses are in and out, they're doing the horses of racing age. But the fact that they did 5 books in 1 week, I mean, that's incredible. And the movement of the horses. So it's a lot of hard work, but I really enjoyed being able to have, you know, firsthand up-close experience of seeing how that works.
Yeah, I was actually thinking of Bon Chance, however you want to pronounce
however
it.
However you say it.
It is a lovely farm, but they did a great job. Leah Alessandroni, who brought us on the tour there, was actually another one of our mentors, did an awesome job of highlighting, you know, the story of that facility and, you know, having bred Arabian Lion and King of Steel. They came out of the same crop. And their whole breeding philosophy, like you touched on, Sydney, and then you guys getting to go to the Keeneland November sale was really, really fun. And, you know, Paola, I know that visiting Haggard Equine Medical Institute was a big highlight for you. Do you want to share some of your takeaways from that experience?
Yeah, so honestly, I feel so fortunate and so blessed to have been invited to go out to Kentucky and to have that weekend. I don't think that I could necessarily pick which place was like my favorite. I think I can really appreciate that every single place that we went to is very open and wanting to involve us. Very, what's the word? Interactive with us. So open to questions, open to having us walk around and see their tour their facilities, or even like pet the horses, things like that. I thought that that was all very nice. I thought that also I got to see kind of like a full circle of what the industry looks like. And I guess it was really interesting to see how it all works together. I'm sure it like makes sense, but I didn't actually conceptualize that until I saw it. And so just seeing it all work together and how every single aspect of it, like it needs each other to flow. It was just really interesting. And so I obviously loved going to Haggard, but I loved like just being able to be in Kentucky, being able to have access to these tours that otherwise I don't think that I would have been able to go on. I'm sorry, my sister's dog is wanting to play right now, but
that's okay. We welcome mascots, pets, and friends. On this podcast.
She's like trying to play ball. Okay, now you can go to your bed. I'm sorry.
You're fine. That's really
no, but
funny.
Yeah, I feel very fortunate and very just happy and like just the fact that we got to meet so many people and like even Sydney and I became such fast friends, and I feel like her and I were friends for a really long time. Like I just feel very happy and very fortunate for everything, every aspect that happened that weekend. You were worried about kind of like the scheduling and all that, and I was just happy to be there. I was happy to be involved. I just very excited. I love Kentucky. I was just in awe the whole time. I loved it.
And I feel like that's so important, just kind of to touch on and like emphasize from your experience there. I think there's two parts of it that what you said really stood out to me, because I did not take my first trip to Kentucky until I was like 21. But saying that, just having access to some of those places and meeting some of those people, and you're just kind of in awe of it, because it's really like going somewhere historic or potentially like meeting a famous person, you know. I mean I remember, like, you know, my very first job ever in the industry was with Carrie Cawthon at his sales agency. During the sales, and I remember like Steve Cawthon coming, you know, his brother coming, and I was like, oh my God, I'm like standing next to Steve Cawthon.
Steve Cawthon, Triple Crown winning jockey, I might add. Cool.
Exactly. And rode some very famous horses. And things like that. It was just kind of like, wow, I can't believe this world is somewhat open to me. And then also the friendship aspect of it. That is something I think that is very unique about our industry, because it is a very demanding 365, 24/7 industry. And especially, you know, for women, we have not always had, for young people and women, it's not always been like the, you know, the most supportive industry. So finding those friendships and those support systems that are going to be by your side and be encouraging and motivating and, you know, there for you, as you navigate your way through whichever path you take in the industry is so important.
And I want to add on to that. You said that it's a very open industry. And I think that that was also, something that I was excited to find out being there. Every single place that we toured was very much open to if we wanted to go back for a job, for an internship, for an externship, anything like that. Every single place that we went to was very open to it and very willing to help us move forward in the industry. And so just being a part of that and like seeing, because I feel like Growing up, having no relation to the thoroughbred industry, it feels so foreign. It feels so hard to get into. It feels so impossible almost. Right. Yeah, for me, it felt very much like, oh, it's a generational thing. If I wasn't born into it or if I don't marry into it, I'm not going to get in. So just like finding my footing around the industry and realizing that that's not necessarily how it has to be is a relief. And like finding out that these places are willing to help me move forward in my career and pursue my passion and just be supportive throughout that is just amazing. And it was honestly just a relief to find out that, like, you know what? It's not that scary. It's not that hard. Yeah, I can do it. It's okay.
Yeah, it can seem very, very intimidating, especially when you've grown up reading the books and watching the movies.
I was going to say the same thing. I think that like that outside looking in kind of impression that we've had from watching the movies maybe doesn't give the best introduction to actually being in it and how open it really is.
Yeah.
And Caitlin, I know that the two of us have talked a lot about our own mentors that we've developed through jobs in an organic sense over the years. And I think that the industry does do a really good job of fostering this culture of mentorship in an informal sense. And that's helped both of us. And Paola and Sydney, now both of you guys have been beneficiaries of having a formal mentor who I hope you guys will both continue to keep in touch with your mentors. And starting with you, Sydney, would you talk about your experience of working with your mentor, Anne Hayes, who works at Windstar? And then Paola, I'll have you talk about working with Jody.
Yeah, so I got paired with Anne Hayes, and she was amazing. Working with her has been amazing. She's so informative, and she's worked in every part of the industry, so she was very knowledgeable and someone that I could always go to and ask a question. So we did our mentorship primarily virtually. I got to meet her in Kentucky finally, which was amazing. We went to the Stallion open houses. But prior to that, so we first got paired right before the Keeneland September sale. And so I told her that I was interested in the breeding aspect and kind of a little bit into the bloodstock aspect. So she told me to pick out some hips that I liked, and then we would watch how they sold. So I picked, I want to say like 15, 20. It's hard to pick just five. She told me to start with five. I was like,
five out of 5,000.
And I, you know, you like fall in love with them, especially when their pictures came out. So I picked a bunch, and then we would guess the prices. And then if they sold under the price, I'd ask her, Anne, why do you think this horse sold under? And something that I didn't really know much about the sale aspect of the industry. I've always kind of paid more attention to racing because that's, like we said, that's more accessible, especially on the internet. There's a lot more media about racing than there is, you know, these are the ins and outs of the sale. So I think there was one hip that I thought was going to go for a lot, and the horse did not sell well. And I asked her, you know, why do you think this horse didn't sell as well? And she told me about the x-rays, which we got to see at Keeneland, and how they factor into how much someone will pay for a horse. And that's something I didn't know about. So she told me, you know, the horse probably didn't scan well. Learning about that was super interesting, especially as someone who's interested in going into the bloodstock aspect of it. So we watched them sell, and then she would FaceTime me from Keeneland. The Keeneland sales. So she showed me the consignments. Maybe it was Lane Zen that she showed me. And she showed me the cards that a potential buyer would check and say, okay, I want to see this horse walk. And that was super cool. Again, something I'd never seen before. And then when the Keeneland started racing again, she FaceTimed me from there and kind of got to see a little bit of what goes into a day of racing at Keeneland. But we texted a lot when major races would go off. We would text back and forth. And I remember Uguri, who was trained by Rudolph Brissett. I said that I really, really liked her. She won the Thoroughbred Club of America, and I was like, oh, I'm so excited. And she told me that she knew him, and she said, oh, I'll introduce you. And I was like, great. I love his horses. Like, so that was just super cool. Since she knows so many people in the industry, and she's so knowledgeable. Love talking about Smarty Jones with her. yeah, it was just a great experience. And then when I went out to Kentucky, we went to, she has some brood mares, and we were looking at stallions for one of her brood mares. And she told me what she was looking for confirmation wise. You know, if her mare was kind of on the smaller side, why she would breed to a bigger stallion. So just being able to listen to her and apply that to my own knowledge, it was just such a great experience. And I'm so thankful to be a part of it and to have gotten to know her.
Yeah, what a cool full circle experience to, for one, I'm so excited that you guys FaceTimed that much. And so for her to be able to talk you through, you know, the September sale on FaceTime, and then for you to actually be able to go to Keeneland, visit the repository, learn more about X-rays, visit Windstar. It's one of those really cool full circle moments. And I'm sure felt kind of surreal too when you're actually there.
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely. It was amazing. Paula and I went to Keeneland afterwards, and we watched some horses sell. And like I said, there's a live stream, and I've watched the horses sell through the live stream, but it is nothing like how it is in real life. It is so different. And I thought that when people bid on horses, you know, they'd be like, this, I want this horse.
No. I want this horse.
No, we were trying to figure out, like, what does it mean? What does it all mean? Because, you know, it looks like nobody's bidding. And then we were eating, and we were kept lifting our hands, and we were like, did we just buy a horse?
It's so subtle. It's like this barely.
Yeah,
I remember
learning that too. I mean, it took me a little while to figure out, like, wait, what's going on here? I still can't walk in and really tell. Because every buyer has their own tell that the spotters know to look for. So yeah, so for anybody who has never been to a horse sale and thinks it's just kind of like your general, I don't know if you ever go to an auction at a fundraiser or something.
Where you have the numbered little sign.
You're saying, I'll take it. Like, that's, there's not the case. I think people are blinking. That's, you know, some of them, that's how they bid.
Yeah. It was so funny. We were watching them, and like, we were looking around, like trying to figure out who was doing it, and we couldn't figure it out. And then I would like watch the guy that's supposed to, like, in the little green, blazer that's supposed to like call out the bid, and I would just make eye contact with him. You remember there was like at one point he just kept staring at me, and I was like,
we just kept making eye contact with them.
Like, we're like, yeah. And then we saw him when we went to get like lunch or something, and he said hi to me, and I was like, oh my goodness.
He was watching you guys.
Yes, he was. I just kept making eye contact with him, and so it was really funny to like just see that play out, I guess. Is nice.
Yeah. Yeah, and then sorry. I was just gonna say, and then after that, we went to the Keeneland Grandstand, and seeing that firsthand, that was amazing because it just takes your breath away. I mean, it's so, I mean, you just don't get it virtually, and it's so expansive, and you're just like, oh, wow. And we saw it right when the sun was setting, and it was picturesque.
It's amazing.
Paula, you got to see the Santa Anita Grandstand as well through an experience working with your mentor. And you had a similar virtual mentorship in that you and your mentor were a distance apart, but you guys got to meet in person as well. So take us through your mentor experience.
Yeah, so my mentor was Jody Villa-Gregory. She's absolutely amazing. We met, like you said, virtually over Zoom every like 2 weeks or so, depending on kind of her availability, but basically every 2 weeks. And she did a great job at encouraging me to get more involved, to apply to certain scholarships, and to look into internships. And she is so well connected. That's like the biggest thing that I took away from like our mentorship, was just kind of how much access she has to the industry, because she's been through so much and she's done so much in the industry. She knows so many people. And so she would just schedule meetings with me and Dr. Benson, which was a veterinarian out at Santa Anita. And also I had a meeting with Shelly, I can't remember her name. I'm so sorry.
I can't help you out with the name on that one.
Shannon Kelly.
Oh, there you go.
Hockey club. Yes.
Her Twitter handle is like S. Kelly. So I always think of her as Skells too.
Kelly.
Yes. No, but like, I just had some really insightful conversations with these people over Zoom. And so it was just really nice to have that connection that, again, otherwise I'm not sure I would have had. And then just like, she made it just such a welcoming environment. Like, I never felt uncomfortable. I never felt awkward asking these questions. Just always very open and honest communication. And then, like you mentioned, she invited me out to the Horse Racing Women's Summit, which is absolutely stunning. I'm so, so grateful for that opportunity. It was kind of crazy. We had like the meeting a week before, I think. And she was like, so we're actually doing this. Like, would you like to come out? And I like last minute, I called my parents and I was like, please let me go. I really, really want to go.
This is. And you received one of their pay it forward tickets, right?
Yes. Yes.
Awesome.
So, and it was kind of hard. I was like really torn because that weekend was actually parents' weekend at my university. So my parents had been like planning to go see me for months. Like, they had gotten the days off of work. And so I was like, I wonder if they're going to let me go. I almost didn't ask, but then I was like, this is too good to give up. Like, I cannot give up on this opportunity. And so I called my parents and I was like, I begged them. I just kind of explained to them what everything was. And they were like, if that's what you want to do, do it. And so I flew out there and it was absolutely amazing. Just like, it was just perfect. And like you said, the grandstand, like I cannot explain it to you any like differently other than like, I lost my breath. Like, just walking in, I was walking in with this group of ladies that I met at the lobby because I was so lost. And I was like, how am I going to get to Santa Anita? Even though it was like right across the road. The
lobby was like a gathering place.
Yes, it was right across the road. But I was like, oh my goodness, how am I going to get there? So I met this group of wonderful ladies and they walked with me. And we walked up to where the event was being held. And the moment we got up the stairs and I saw like just the track, I was just, my jaw was on the floor. Like, I lost my breath and I was like, oh my goodness, someone pinch me. Like, is this real? And then that weekend was just so amazing. I feel like it was such an empowering environment. I think that was honestly like the best thing that I could have done. The best event that I could have gone to, like as my first event in the thoroughbred industry. Everyone was so welcoming. I was so nervous, so, so nervous the first day. Like, I stood there with Jody and then obviously she had to go talk to someone else. So I just stood there with like a little glass of water and I was like, what do I do now?
But you never gave off that vibe. As I saw you through the event, you always had a smile on your face. You were always talking to people. You know, you really improved your public speaking skills over the weekend, which was, it was so cool to watch you get a little better, a little better, a little more confident. And events like that are such a positive environment for, you know, helping you grow that confidence in a safe space.
Definitely. And I think it did just that for me. It made me kind of flourish into this like more confident person in the industry. When I got there, I was really nervous that no one was going to take me seriously. I was really nervous that being younger, they were just kind of going to be like, oh, I thought that I was going to be the youngest one there. And so I was already like nervous about that. I felt that I was maybe not going to relate to other people and just kind of be like, kind of looked over. And I feel that was not at all what happened. I think that I got a lot of positive energy and feedback from everyone. Everyone was so kind, so willing to help, and just wanting to have a conversation with each other, wanting to get to know each other, like regardless of anyone's story. Everyone was just so empowering the whole weekend. It was just amazing. I felt like I grew so much, like I said, and just like, I learned so much about myself. I learned so much about the industry and like the women around me. And I was just very, very happy to be there. Very happy to be related to, or like, you know, associated with these women. And just, yeah. Apart from that, so that's actually where I met Jody. And then we continued to meet over Zoom at the horse racing summit. She got me in contact with Dr. Benson again. And then she gave us a tour of the backstretch, which was, again, phenomenal. Being able to be so close to all these horses, learning how she evaluates them before the race. So that was opening day at Santa Anita, which was amazing as well. I got to watch my first horse race. I was jumping up and down in Jody's like balcony, and I was like, oh my goodness, like this is real. Like I was very, very excited. But yeah, I feel so fortunate for all of the connections that I've made and all the connections that Jody has like, what is the word? Not fortified, but like kind of like
facilitated.
Facilitated, yes. Facilitated for me, and just, it's been amazing. And like meeting Caitlin too, like I don't think that we got to talk enough, but like we sat next to each other at the last event and just,
I think my mom met you the first night. Yes. She was like, you have to meet. Oh my goodness. She's from Texas. She's so sweet. Yes. She doesn't know many people here.
Yes. I was so sad she had to leave the first day. But yes, it was just so nice like meeting everyone. And like everyone was so open. Everyone, that little card thing that they did was such a great
way. The five for your tribe.
Yes, that was such a great way to get people moving around and like talking to other people, getting to know just like a stranger, like tell me your story, why are you here, and then like let's share our info with each other so that we can keep in contact. And so that's really great. I feel like I've made really good connections from the Women's Summit. Alexa is one of those connections. Love her. She feels like a big sister to me now. And then Sophia as well. Sophia is the only other girl that was there my age. So it was really nice to have someone that I could like also relate to in that sense. But yeah, apart from the Women's Summit, Jody has just facilitated so much for me. And then especially like, even we had our last meeting, official meeting last week, and I was just so relieved to find out that she still wanted to keep in contact. Like, I know that that was the whole point, but I almost felt like it wasn't going to happen. And so just us kind of setting goals for each other and being like, okay, so next time when we meet, my goal is to have a certain amount of internships or kind of like plans for the summer. And then we're going to kind of deduce it to something smaller, figure out what like a solid plan is going to be, what I'm going to do, who I'm going to spend the summer with, things like that. And so just, she has been such a great resource for me in the industry, and she's always been very kind and very helpful. And so I'm very, very grateful for that. I don't know, like, I don't think that there are any words that I can say to like express how thankful I am for her and for like what she's done for me in the industry.
I think that's a really good way of kind of, you know, putting a bow on it, is that it's really hard to fully describe the impact that a mentor can have in your life, because you might go 15 years down the road and look back and be able to connect all of these dots and realize, because of this mentor, I was able to do all of these other things.
Yeah, I do that all the time. And you know, I have moments like at least, you know, a few times a month that takes my breath away, how everything, and that was, I kind of got into it just by dumb luck. But Anise and the Amplify group, you know, what they've created with the mentorship program is, you know, it gives me so much hope and excitement for the future of the industry.
I love that. We're going to keep on growing, making things bigger and better. And Paola and Sydney, I'm looking at the two of you to go forth and be ambassadors for the sport and ambassadors for the program. And hopefully we can check in with the two of you in the very near future and hear more about your next steps and all the cool things that you're doing. So I'm so proud of you both. Thank you for joining today, and have a wonderful holiday season.
Thank you so much, ladies.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, that was our show, and this was a really special show to me, Anise. I feel like you probably feel that way too.
The energy is so good with Sydney and Paola. And again, I want to shout out Lily Mosier, our other Travel Award recipient, who was along with these ladies for their behind the scenes tour. And, you know, I think it's going to be really cool to follow along with all of their journeys as they venture farther into the industry or in whatever direction that they might go, because they're becoming these really well-educated, well-spoken women to be able to even talk about and form their opinions. And I think that, you know, whatever career direction they decide to move towards, I think that they're going to look upon this experience really fondly.
Yes. And it was incredible to hear how they started out, how they got into racing, how their interest was piqued at such a young age, and how it's just blossomed into this world of opportunities for them.
And it was funny, one last shout out to the movie conversation that we had. We just did a blog on the Amplify blog about
who
horse racing movie is. And I went back and watched the trailer for The Black Stallion, and it made me cry.
Oh,
I was so nostalgic about it. It's just like that nostalgia.
Really makes you cry if you go back and watch it is Black Beauty.
Oh, man. See, the holidays are here. It's time to hit the couch. Turn on those horse movies and just watch to your heart's content.
Agreed. But we will be back in the future with a few more episodes before the end of the year. So looking forward to that. Anise, do you want to tell everybody where they can find us in the meantime?
You can all follow Amplify Racing on X, formerly known as Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Catch the video version of this podcast on our YouTube channel and listen to the podcast on your favorite podcasting platform. If you have any questions or podcast show ideas, or you want to know more about Amplify, reach out to info@amplifyhorseracing.org. Until next time.